online and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, a senior Donegal County Council official has acknowledged that people may be reluctant to move to the next stage of the micro-redress scheme because they believe there is a prospect of the scheme being changed. The Redress Committee was also told today it would be the appropriate vehicle for deputations and meetings with the Housing Minister. With regards to questions raised regarding procurement, legal advice was circulated today. That's not yet been published. 524 new cases of COVID-19 have been confirmed. No information on COVID-related deaths available. County by county numbers not yet published. 8 people in the country have developed a serious reaction after taking the Pfizer or Moderna vaccines. Later in the bulletin, Chris Ashmore is here with the sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. But we begin with this afternoon's meeting of Donegal County Council's MICA Redress Committee. And a senior council official has acknowledged that people may be reluctant to move to the next stage of the MICA Redress scheme because they believe there is a prospect of the scheme being changed. The Director of Housing, Joe Peoples, also suggested that the committee would be the appropriate vehicle for deputations and meetings with the Housing Minister, Dara O'Brien. With more, here's Cliona O'Dwyer.
On the issue of applications, Mr. Peoples said 2 new staff members have been working on the scheme and progress is being made. He said a significant number of applications have progressed through stage 1 and a small number to stage 2. He said uncertainty over potential changes to the scheme is possibly having an effect. On last night's meeting involving Minister O'Brien, Donegal Oireachtas members, the MICA Action Group and councillors Rena Donaghy and Martin McDermott, councillor Albert Doherty said is to be welcomed that a meeting took place, but it's regrettable that there were no council officials present. Councillor Doherty endorsed the suggestion that the committee be the vehicle of communication with the minister and proposed an early meeting be sought. Backing that, Councillor Liam Blaney suggested there should be a statement issued by the council outlining the application and assessment process in detail. He said in many cases the council is being blamed for delays which are not its fault. He said all applications should be processed within 4 weeks.
Councillor Frank McBurdy said the scheme is unworkable. He suggested that the council reject the scheme in its current form and demand a new scheme which provides 100% redress and encompasses all the counties that have MICA. He claimed they include Sligo and counties across the border. Councillor McBurdy also claimed that some cases have been settled by the state and he called on the government to make a statement clarifying that. Repeating his call for a public inquiry, Councillor McBurdy urged opposition parties to move a motion in the Dáil, calling for such a probe to be initiated immediately. Councillor Gerry McMonagall pointed out that there already have been calls in the Dáil for a public inquiry. In other news this evening, 524 new cases of COVID-19 have been confirmed today. No information on COVID-related deaths available and county-by-county numbers and incidence rates are not being published due to the effects of the recent cyber attack on HSE computer systems. 72 cases of the Indian variant have been identified in Ireland. NPHET says it's closely monitoring variants of concern. With more, here's Eamon Torsney.
An additional 524 cases of COVID-19 have been confirmed. 107 patients have been treated for the disease in hospital, of which 38 are in ICU. The Chief Medical Officer says NPHET's closely monitoring variants of concern, and in particular the possible higher transmissibility of the so-called Indian variant in other countries. 72 cases of that variant have been confirmed in Ireland. Dr. Tony Holohan says the variant may pose a risk to the progress we have made, and NPHET will be keeping a close eye on this as they consider the advice they need to provide the government on any further easing of restrictions.
In broad terms, you could characterise it as the sky isn't for the most part blue, but there is a black cloud on the horizon, which is the Indian variant. We are concerned genuinely about the reports we're seeing and the credibility we attach to them around the increased transmissibility associated with that particular variant. This is only underscoring our concern about this particular variant, the most concerning one I think that we've had since we saw the original emergence of the B117.
8 people in Ireland have developed serious allergic reactions after taking either the Pfizer or Moderna COVID vaccine. The medicines watchdog has had a number of reports of the condition, anaphylaxis, but the HPRA says only 8 are officially classified as cases and all patients have recovered. Donegal Dr. Dennis McCauley, chair of the GP committee of the Irish Medical Organisation, says these reactions are known side effects.
Anaphylaxis is a severe allergic reaction to something that the person is given that can result in very low blood pressure, very severe immune response. And the experience nationally at the beginning was that perhaps there would have been 10 of these reactions per every million vaccine given. So 8 occurrences with the 2 million vaccines given would probably be within the realm of normality.
The Director of Public Health in the North West says daily case numbers of COVID-19 in Donegal are encouraging. As we said earlier, no local data has been available since last Friday as a result of the cyber attack on the HSC. However, Dr. Anthony Breslin says based on the data available to them, the number of positive cases of the virus in Donegal currently, they believe, ranges from the early to mid-20s. Dr. Breslin told Greg Hughes on today's 9 till noon show, it's vital that as further restrictions ease in Northern Ireland from Monday, people remember the basics and continue to comply with public health guidelines to mitigate against future variations.
People go to Derry or anywhere else in the north, have been doing for hundreds of years. Please follow the guidance there. Out and about, going into shops, follow the guidance. And when you come back, follow the guidance here as well. The virus is still there. It hasn't lost its potency. And what we don't want is a chronic low level of infection, because that means the virus is still circulating. And the longer the virus circulates, the higher risk we have of a mutation occurring. And we know that mutations have occurred. We've got the sort of the Kent, Brazilian, South Africa, Indian variants, etc. And the big danger is, as you people know from watching reports in the media, is that we could get a variant that is very resistant to any existing vaccine at present, and we don't want to be at a low level of restrictions for sort of the next 2 or 3 years.
And that was Dr. Anthony Breslin there. Well, the cyber attack a week ago today continues to have its ramifications felt. The decryption key that was provided online to the HSC is still being assessed. There are reports that it will allow the HSC retrieve data, but a very careful attempt is being made to thoroughly test it before anything is done in that respect. In the meantime, service disruptions at Letterkenny University Hospital are expected to continue next week. All outpatient clinics are cancelled, as are diagnostic services, including X-ray, CT scans, MRI appointments and cardiac investigations. Endoscopy services are cancelled, as are all elective inpatient and day case procedures. Patients are asked not to come to the hospital unless contacted. A small number of procedures may go ahead. Those patients will be contacted directly. Maternity services, including antenatal scanning, will go ahead. Patients should attend dialysis appointments and chemotherapy appointments unless contacted and advised otherwise. Colonoscopy and physiotherapy appointments are also going ahead. The emergency department is open for emergencies. Patients needing urgent care will be prioritised. Where possible, patients are being urged to bring existing hospital numbers with them when they come to the hospital, or any letter they may have received from the hospital, as that will contain information that will make it easier to find existing medical records. Patients should also bring a current list of medications or prescriptions. Again, patients are being asked to contact their GP or GP out of hours service in the first instance if their health problem is not urgent. Meanwhile, the HSC's Community Health Office says its services also continue to be affected. Attend anywhere virtual health care appointments have been impacted. They're suspended and all Donegal community diagnostic x-rays are cancelled until further notice. If your child has an audiology appointment or you have an adult appointment, you're being urged to check by phone if those appointments are proceeding. Those numbers available on our website, highlandradio.com. Hearing aid repairs and ear mold appointments also available, and pre-arranged community appointments in St Connell's Letterkenny also going ahead as normal. Full details on both the hospital and the Community Health Office on our website. The Tourism Minister says there are no plans to change the opening dates for outdoor dining at the moment. Pubs and restaurants have complained there's not a level playing field, with hotels allowed to open a week before them and to serve food indoors. Hotels open on June 2nd, while pubs and restaurants will reopen after the bank holiday weekend on June 7th. Minister Catherine Martin says the government is following the public health advice.
We are guided by public health advice, and we will be taking that advice this week and giving consideration to everything. As it currently stands, it is the hotels who will be opening on June 2nd and the outdoor dining from June 7th, and everything will be taken into consideration, but we will be guided by public health advice. As it currently stands, there are no changes in that.
A government minister says there will be no income tax increases over the coming years. That's despite a new report from the ESRI saying they may be needed alongside increases to VAT and other taxes in order to meet government costs. The report also warns the tax take from motor and corporation tax is likely to fall to the tune of billions of euro. Social Protection Minister Heather Humphreys says the government is closely monitoring the situation.
We expect the economy to grow. We're heading into a recovery. And I don't believe that an increase in income tax is the way to go. But we will make the right decisions, and we look at an economy that is expected to grow considerably.
The rights of families to information about a relative attending mental health services should be strengthened. That's the view of a leading academic. Yesterday, Deirdre Morley of Parsons Court, Newcastle, was found not guilty of murdering her three children by reason of insanity. Her husband and their father, Andrew McGinley, who's from Donegal Town, has called for an inclusive investigation by HSE Mental Health Services and more involvement of families in mental health care. Yesterday on the 9 till noon show, Sean Ray, the father of Alec Ray from Cardonna, who died by suicide in February 2016, said there needs to be an overhaul of the current mental health system to allow people make representations on behalf of others. Professor of Psychiatry Brendan Kelly says Ireland should follow the example of other countries in relation to accessing information.
And it's my personal view that families should be entitled to what I would regard as a minimum data set about a family member who is attending mental health care. It might be the fact that the person is attending is often enough for many families just to know the person is showing up, and it's not necessary to reveal anything further. And other countries do have entitlements for families that we don't have here. So I would like to see that strengthened in Ireland.
Further in higher education, Minister Simon Harris has confirmed he did this afternoon receive an application from the Connaught Ulster Alliance seeking the establishment of a technological university. It'll encompass the campuses of Letterkenny IT, Sligo IT and Galway Mayo IT. Minister Harris says such a technological university would have the potential to further drive the development of higher education and regional growth in the West and Northwest with strong cross-border links. Confirming he's now set in train the necessary processes, Minister Harris said the TU could be established early next year, enabling students in the three campuses graduating in the 2021-2022 academic year to do so with university-level qualifications. Well, Dr. Sean Duffy is the Connaught Ulster Alliance project lead.
What will happen is our application will go in, we will have a review by the international panel hopefully in the summer. There's a number of things that need to be put into place then in terms of legislation, etc. But what it will mean is it will mean a coming together of three large institutes across the west and northwest coast to provide significant support and development and opportunities in terms of programs, degree programs and supports for students within the region, for industry within the region, and also for the wider communities.
Well, earlier, Deputy Joe McHugh, a former education minister, said a lot of people worked very hard to get the process to where it is today.
It's a big day to move formally now to the submission stage for university status. And I would like to acknowledge Paul Hannigan, John Andy Boner and the team at LYT, and obviously Dr. Sean Duffy, who has been leading on this process now, which includes GMIT and Sligo IT as well. I would like to acknowledge Kieran O'Hanrahan and his efforts as well, and he will be leading up at the LYT and at the consortium, and certainly his role as international person as well will be really significant. And the leadership role as well within the TUI, where there were strong majority results in terms of moving to this next stage as well through the ballot last night. We're all moving in the direction in a very, very speedy way to bring it to formal recognition at the beginning of 2022.
And indeed, as former education minister, you will know the significance of this for the whole Northwest region.
It brings more research, it brings more intensity in terms of the availability of different courses, it brings variety, and it will also bring us to another level in terms of our cross-border cooperation. And while in Letterkenny and the LYT and Paul Hannigan and his team have always had a history and strong track record of cross-border collaboration, for example, with the University of Ulster, that now will deepen and strengthen.
And that was Deputy Joe McHugh. A Castledurg councillor has hit out at antisocial behaviour at two parks in the area. Councillor Rory McHugh says it's soul-destroying to see the leisure amenities of Mitchell Park and Derg Castle Park being damaged after what appears to be another underage drinking session. He says he's been inundated with complaints about damage, broken glass and discarded rubbish, which could endanger children playing in the parks, and he fears the same could happen again in the coming days. Councillor McHugh is appealing to everyone to take responsibility to ensure the parks aren't damaged again, and he says there are dangers close by.
I've recently been inundated with complaints from users of both the Derg Castle Park and Castle Derg and Mitchell Park playing fields. They're complaining to me about the use of those sites by, in particular, young people, and I have to say on occasion not so young people, to involve themselves in alcohol consumption and indeed drug consumption as well.
You've expressed particular concern that some of them are, as you say, are young, and you're asking questions with regards to their parents and what they're doing about this.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I would appeal to parents in the Castle Derg area to be aware, especially at weekends, of where their children are at and what they're involving themselves in. And I'd also take the opportunity as well to appeal to those young people, first and foremost, not to involve themselves in this type of activity, because they risk getting a criminal record with all the negative consequences that arises out of that. But also it's a danger to themselves, because if you're consuming alcohol, the Derg Castle site and indeed Mitchell Park playing field is right next to the Derg River, so there's obvious dangers there. So as I say, I would appeal to those young people, first and foremost, not to involve themselves in this type of activity. But if you insist in consuming alcohol in these areas, then at least have the common decency to use the bins provided and not leave the place in the state that it has been left in over the most recent weekend.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up on all your training essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 18 minutes past five. We say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Thanks, Donal, and we begin the sport this evening with soccer, and Finn Harps begin a busy spell of 3 games in 8 days tonight when they host Drogheda United at Finn Park. Harps go into the game in 5th spot while Drogheda are 4th. After Drogheda, Harps travel to Waterford on Monday and then play Sligo Rovers in Balbuffet next Friday. Former Finn Harps midfielder Michael Funston feels that Harps can aim for 9 points from these 3 games, but even a 7-point return would surely delight Ali Horgan.
The realistic target, I suppose, I would love 9 points, but realistically, you know, you're looking for 2-1s and a draw, really, would be what you want to do. Obviously, if you could get, maybe a draw tomorrow night, that keeps you right on Drogheda's cusps, and then get the one and a derby game, I'd love to see us go, you know, beat Sligo at home. So, you know what I mean? Because they're going really well. It's such a confidence booster. But at the same time, there's no reason Harps can't aim for 9 points. Like, obviously, the players can only take it one game at a time. But, you know, I'd love us to see us aim for 9 points. But really, if you get 2-1s and a draw, I think that would probably, over the 3 games, be like maximum return. Ollie would be delighted with that, you know.
And that was Michael Funston speaking to Oisin Kelly in last night's Score programme. The game has a 7:45pm start this evening, and there'll be full match commentary on the game with Dermot Doherty and Declan Boyle, with that coverage starting at 7:40. Elsewhere tonight, at St. Patrick's Athletic and Bohemians kick off at 5:45. And also at 5:45, Waterford against Derry City. Sligo Rovers are in action at 7:45 when they host Longford. And the big match of the weekend is Dundalk against the champions and league leaders Shamrock Rovers. That's at Oriel Park, also at 7:45. And there's a top-of-the-table clash, which is the pick of the crop of the games in Division 1. Shelburne meet UCD. The Football Association of Ireland has today written to delegates to the new General Assembly, informing them of the full list of nominations for the new FAI board to be elected and ratified at Sunday's online extraordinary general meeting. Paddy Bonner is on a list of 6 independent directors to be ratified. Cross Channel and Nuno Espirito Santo is to leave Wolves after 4 seasons at the club. They won the championship in its first season in charge and qualified for Europe in the second. However, they've lost 16 league games this season, his worst record since taking over. His final game in charge will come at home to Manchester United on Sunday as the curtain comes down on the English Premier League season. Meanwhile, the Irish Cup final is on tonight between Linfield and Larne, with a 7:45 start at Mournview Park. Earlier today, the Irish FA dismissed Crusaders' protest over their Irish Cup semi-final shootout defeat by Larne. They do still have the option, though, of attempting to take a court injunction. Moving on to Gaelic games, and Donegal's Declan Boner's side are back in action tomorrow when they take on Monaghan at McCool Park in Division 1 North of the Alliance National Football League. Donegal with home advantage will be strongly fancied to make it 2 wins from 2. But Donegal's iconic figure Michael Murphy knows that the Farnie men will be no pushovers and will be anxious to improve on their last outing when they lost to Armagh. Murphy says that both teams will be going all out to fight for the 2 points.
I know Monaghan, they've provided us with massive tests down through the years, and we really enjoyed the games with them. We're in our home patch here in Ballybuffet, and so something we're always very cognizant of trying to really, I suppose, set up and stamp our authority within trying to keep a good winning run going within Ballybuffet. But, you know, Monaghan will have absolutely other ideas. They'll be coming down the road, I suppose, maybe a little bit disappointed and cut up from their Armagh game. So, you know, you're going to expect, you know, two driven teams going into Ballybuffet on Saturday, really trying to fight for those 2 points.
And tomorrow's game is a 5 o'clock throw-in. Commentary in Highland will come from Oisin Kelly and Martin McHugh. And in the other big games on over the weekend, also in Division 1 North, Armagh and Tyrone has a 7 o'clock start tomorrow evening. In Division 3 North, Derry meet Fermanagh in Owen Beg at 5 o'clock on Saturday. On Sunday, the big games, Dublin against Kerry and Galway against Roscommon in Division 1 South. Now moving on to hurling, and the National Hurling League sees action this weekend as well. For Donegal, this time around, they're hosting Mayo, and that game is on in O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny on Sunday with a 2 o'clock throw-in. Donegal will be hoping to bounce back after a heavy defeat away to Kildare last week. Tyrone are in action in Division 3A when they make the trip to Longford tomorrow, 2 o'clock throw-in for that one. And the two big games of the weekend in the National Hurling League, Kilkenny and Wexford on Sunday at 2 o'clock and Waterford and Limerick at 3:45. That's in Division 1 Group A. The Little Ladies National League also begins this weekend. Donegal are at home to Westmeath at McCool Park on Sunday. That's a 1 o'clock start for that one. Geraldine McLaughlin set to make her 100th appearance. Donegal manager Maxi Curran will want to see his side getting off to a winning start, but they won't be underestimating a physically strong Westmeath.
Look, a real tough one. Westmeath beat us last year in the league down in Westmeath, you know, albeit on a 3G Astro pitch. And look, we probably feel we owe them one, but they came to Letterkenny a number of years ago as well and really put us to pin of a call. A real physical, you know, strong team, very athletic, and, you know, a lot of experience. And, you know, they were unfortunate to lose the intermediate final last year, and they've managed to hold on to everybody, you know, and they're gunning for an intermediate title this year and a return to senior football. So, you know, they're going to come all guns blazing, and it'll be a battle for us. You know, look, having home advantage is a good start, and, you know, a team with the, you know, we'd like to think ourselves in the top level. So, you know, you'd really want to be, you know, accounting for teams like Westmeath.
Tom Comack and Maureen O'Donnell will be the Highland Radio team at McCool Park for that game on Sunday. Tyrone, meanwhile, take on Armagh in Division 2B on Sunday as well at 2 o'clock. That's in Healy Park in Omagh. And Derry are in action against Antrim in Division 4. Staying with Gaelic Games, and former Mayo footballer Tom Parsons says that he's honoured to become the new CEO of the Gaelic Players Association. In golf, 3 bogeys since making the turn have seen Padraig Harrington drop back to level par on day 2 of the PGA Championship. Shane Lowry is currently 1 over. South Africa's Brandon Grace is the course leader at Kiwa Island on 6 under par. Rory McIlroy's second round gets underway just before 7. He is 3 over. In boxing, Brett McGinty and Conor Coyle are back in the professional rings this weekend. St Johnstone's McGinty returns for his second professional fight on Saturday at the Skydrome Arena in Coventry. The Donegal middleweight has had a change of opponent for a second time and will now face Dwayne Grant, a 37-year-old with 3 wins and 9 defeats on his record. Derryman Coyle is back across the Atlantic and will fight in Cancun in Mexico against Edgar Ortega. Coyle has a polished record of 13 victories, whilst the hometown fighter has suffered 12 defeats in his 30 outings. That fight due at around
3 a.m. Irish time on Sunday morning. In rugby, Ulster will have 500 fans present for their final home game of the season. That's in the Rainbow Cup with Scarlets on Saturday week. And in cricket, fast bowler Boyd Rankin has announced his retirement from cricket at the age of 36. He's Ireland's second highest wicket taker of all time across the formats and represented his country across 18 years. The Derry native was part of the team which beat Pakistan at the 2007 World Cup and England 4 years later. In cycling, today's 13th stage of the Giro d'Italia has been won by Giacomo Nizzolo. The Italian has registered 11 second place finishes on the Giro down through the years, but never a stage win. Egan Bernal retains the overall leader's pink jersey. Dan Martin is still 7 minutes, 6 seconds adrift of the leading Colombian. And finally, in racing, Donegal's Conor Oher chalked up another victory today. He was on board the 25-1 shot Ringhill Lady that won the Adair Manor Opportunity Handicap Hurdle at Downpatrick for Tyrone trainer JJ Lamb. And that's your Friday evening sport.
Good morning, Chris. I'm going to ask you further.
Chair, I'm going to further. So, Linda, pre-scale team. Fogriu and Chacton shot go will pro-am pack Colacht at a Lonnie or Fark Grogidor. Tarish Conru a Hinu a Yanhi Ashinan a Colacta a Wuanu in Geltert Hunanal, Master Gogorti or Comus na Colacta a Hiv a Vedu agus Jabin a Brescia a Krohu Rodda Carti Gomor Legidor Mar Lar Inad o Hiv Pakistiacht via da Fati agus Pakistiar Bia Rechi Lehihe Fasti and Pro Ampak Yakia Dinya Gohachul in Gidor Hanafin Sigeltert Ir Hushkert. Dogar run Nigeliga Olskol Vanuid agus Antarakta Sine Goel Kofartiokt Boniha Aku Kon Taiv Alinya agus Tradition Bail Nigeliga agus Nigeltakta a Arbert agus a Karkon Kin Frij Kursa Maestri Signua Geliga Nua Bonica, Taiv Alinia, August Tradition Bail Nigeliga. Best session Olus, Zoom, and Jardine Chahogin, and Shartalas Fee, August Jarter Gawi, Na Micklin, a Horti Fuin Cursa, Tahi Fracticule, August Jesh, Aku Parch Grievach, Aglaku, Sna Halinia Geliga, August Geltakta, Marchodj Den Taija, August Marchodj Dena Modul. Nua a Carter foil. Is Coj Larnach e an Kofarchiok Cha the Urberti Nuas na Halinia Geliga August Geltakta Atara a Kars Konkin egrun na Nua Geliga San Allskull Vanuid eg level ear kema. Ta and Fisher Gil Verichanach Brandon Boyle Taku Le Hail of Pobble na Geliga Gokarti Ivaim and Raktiokt Dan Geliga Ohui. Major le scale falsi Conor na Geliga inniu. Fui Cabagil ag an crinniu vi cest na raktiacht a Geliga o hui a ta fos gan curry vaim. Cae cur galu I bresh agus bliana hyn a mi anar fihe agus fi. Mar chodz larna dan fleisin vi na galtan as changa a rinniu mar chodz the cho into einia an cesta in nijeg niha agus a hocht. Agus ta fish hari agus fele yimi veri vili a chelyru in jarai shartan ysha. Bunny and Ele, Fiha Bionahan, contradition, a Raniakta, and Chando, Sidari, a Chivnu, Xavunu, Tana Hemakti, Eligarlina, Emliana, Dawart, and Yar Kim, Skaholus, Ernaman, Socialta. Shimahodja, Eligulier, Slanagus Banner.
Got a Mahagoth column, Agusanish on I'm Sure. Cloudy for most of the afternoon with outbreaks of rain. It'll gradually brighten up into the evening with drier conditions extending southwards. Scattered showers will become more isolated as the night goes on, mainly confined to coasts with long clear spells developing. Temperatures will drip tonight between 1 and 3 degrees Celsius in moderating northwest breezes. Tomorrow we'll see a mix of sunny spells and scattered showers. It'll be cool with highs of just 10 or 11 degrees Celsius in mostly moderate westerly breezes. Main stories, and a senior Donegal County Council official has acknowledged that people may be reluctant to move to the next stage of the micro-redress scheme because they believe there's a prospect of the scheme being changed. The Director of Housing, Joe Peoples, also suggested that the committee would be the appropriate vehicle for deputations and meetings with the Housing Minister. With regards to questions raised at the last meeting regarding procurement, legal advice was circulated to members ahead of this afternoon's meeting, which has not, as of yet, been published. Councillor Frank McBrearty said the scheme is unworkable. He suggested the Council reject reject it in its current form and demand a new 100% scheme which encompasses all the counties that have mica. He claimed they include Sligo and some counties across the border. 524 new cases of COVID-19 have been confirmed today. 72 cases of the Indian variant now identified in Ireland. We're back with news again at 6. Good evening. The opportunities for this Friday evening, the 21st of May. The death has taken place of Ron Thompson, late of Dundrane, Burnfoot. House private, please, funeral restricted to family and close friends. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via Our Lady of Lourdes Church Steelstown webcam tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in St Mary's Cemetery, Cock Hill, Buncrana. Family and friends can pay their respects at W.J. O'Brien and Sons Funeral Home, Eglinton, this evening from 6:30 to 7:30. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the Owen Moore Care Home Patient Comfort Fund, Derry. And the death has occurred of Pauline Buss, née McGranahan, Old Brook Court, Letterkenny. Pauline's remains are en route to St. Junan's Cathedral for reception prayers at 5:30. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11 can be viewed live on churchservices.tv/letterkenny. Interment afterwards in Conwell Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Archview Lodge Residence Comfort Fund, care of Pascal Blake, funeral director.